This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. We've been talking this week about how the United States solved, or at least reduced, I guess you should say, some of its biggest air pollution problems and what China can learn from that experience as it chokes on its own pollution. It's a series we're calling We Used to Be China. So with that, here is something you don't hear much about these days. But back a while ago, before global warming, before the hole in the ozone layer, there was acid rain. And you know what? We did something about it. Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff has that story.
When I was growing up in the 80s, acid rain was a really big deal. We wrote school reports about it, watched cartoons about it, like this Captain Planet episode called, naturally, Rain of Terror.
What's so bad about burning a little coal?
Many things. One of the worst is that it creates acid rain.
By the 80s, we knew Midwest power plants spewed tons of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides into the atmosphere. The chemical reactions turned rain and snow into killers. It seemed intractable. This was the show Nova in 1984.
We've seen lakes acidify and die because of acid rain. Now we shall in all probability have to add destruction of forests.
It was particularly bad in upstate New York, in the Adirondack Mountains. On Nova, Sue Capone, a biologist with the Adirondack Lake Survey Corporation, is out taking water samples.
Look out.
30 years later, I find Sue Capone is still out there. She's field operations supervisor now.
You want things to be as consistent as possible as you, when you take your sample.
Are you surprised by how much things have changed since the 80s?
Actually, I am. Recently.
Now when she hikes miles or flies to take samples in remote lakes, she finds a rebirth.
So you can see these little fish even in there right now. Little minnow.
Many of the lakes that had turned crystal clear and lifeless in the 70s and 80s are again stocked with fish. A record brook trout was caught in one. pH levels, a measurement of how acidic something is, are improving. It's promising progress, a half century since a young scientist first noticed something was odd about rain.
It was a great surprise. It was one of those aha moments. What is this and why is it like that?
Gene Likens was a professor at Dartmouth in 1963, starting a project to take what he calls the vital signs of a forest in New Hampshire. He wanted to measure the ecosystem's chemistry. After a storm, he was shocked to find the rain was nearly as acidic as vinegar.
We didn't know how acid rain should be. We certainly weren't thinking about acid rain.
This was about to become his life's work. He and his team had to start from scratch, flying to the most remote places on Earth, like the southern tips of South America and Africa, to measure the acidity of unaffected rain. As evidence mounted that power plant emissions were the culprit in the U.S., he had to build a case against skeptical utility owners.
No, it's not going up my smokestack. No, it's not what went up my smokestack didn't come down on your forest in New Hampshire.
He and his team would even follow smokestack plumes in small planes to see where they blew. It took nearly a decade, but by 1972, they were ready to tell the world, publishing their first academic paper.
And we thought long and hard before we wrote that paper about what the title should be.
In the end, they went with acid rain, which turned out to be a brilliant label.
The idea that you could sing in the rain, you could walk in the rain, and then the rain was acid, really kind of grabbed people. So it had that impact on branding, if you will.
I'm singing in the rain.
Acid rain was soon big news.
I had phone calls from literally all over the world, scientists saying, what is going on? What is all this about?
Hundreds joined the research effort. In the 70s and 80s, politicians vowed to study it more. It became an issue of region versus region, with the Midwest power plants and coal mines against the Northeast and its suffering lakes and forests. Then, a new Clean Air Act in 1990 started turning things around. Utilities spent upwards of $1 billion to install high-tech scrubbers on smokestacks or switch to lower sulfur coal from out west. That new coal was a boon to railroads in mining states like Wyoming. Now power plant emissions of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides have been cut more than 70%.
This is kind of the war room for 1980. These have been up there since 1983.
Karen Roy is head of the Adirondack Long-Term Monitoring Program. She's in a basement conference room that's more like a museum. Pins are stuck in a wall-sized map of the region, marking all the lakes they've been testing the past three decades.
Would I have predicted that we could have turned this around as a nation? No, I would not. There were just too many other things that seemed to get in the way.
Roy and Likens are not ready to declare victory. Not all the lakes are back. Forest ecosystems will take much longer to recover. But things are so improved that for the first time, Roy is considering scaling back her team's monitoring. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, how acid rain was taken care of by one of the most successful environmental deals ever. A little thing you might have heard of. It's called Cap and Trade. You can hear all of our series, We Used to Be China, online. We've got stories, a wild slideshow, a pollution timeline, and the pictures of air, dirty and otherwise, that you all have sent us this week. It's at marketplace.org.